This morning, as we come to look at Mark, the 10th chapter, and as we look, Jesus is predicting his death for the third time, and he's teaching about serving others. And you think, kind of, well, what's that couple of things got to do with each other? Well, let's take a look at that this morning. And, you know, I don't know about y'all folks, but I think about when I read the Bible and I read about Jesus and I read about the disciples, and I just can't help but think about me. If I had been called to be a disciple, that would have been a tough job. That would have been a real tough job. I know that we think, well, you know, we would have done just as good as they did. Well, we might have, but it would have still been tough. They wanted to know and understand everything that Jesus knew and understood, but they couldn't. They absolutely couldn't, because they didn't have the wisdom. They didn't have the insight that Jesus had. He was a God man. He was straight from God. And so when he was trying to tell them that he was going to die and that he was going to be raised from the dead, it was just like phew, right over their head. They just couldn't get it in their head what was happening. They couldn't hear what he was actually saying. You ever hear what God is saying to you, but you don't hear it? Why is it you don't hear it? I know. I've had it happen to me a bunch of times. The reason I don't hear what God's saying is because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to be involved in anything other than what I'm doing right now, Lord. So just get over it. I'm not going to be listening. Not going to listen to any part of that. Yeah, I heard the first and I heard the last, but I hadn't heard anything in between. That's where the disciples were. They weren't listening to the fact that Jesus was going to die and leave them. They didn't want to hear it. You know what Peter said. They didn't want to hear anything that had to do with it. So as we pick up in the 32nd verse, Mark 10, it says, they were now on the way up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. The disciples were filled with awe, and the people following behind were overwhelmed with fear. Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus once more began to describe everything that was about to happen. Listen, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priest. Look at who he's going to be betrayed to, the leading priest and the teachers of the religious law. They will sentence him to die and hand him over to the Romans. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him with a whip, and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. Now, you got to stop and think about this, folks. He's trying to tell them what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen to me. And they're thinking, hey, looks to me like this is a good spot for a job opening right here. I'm going to see if I can't step up here and get me a high job position, you know. So they said, then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What is your request, he asked. And they replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in the places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from the bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. And when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the sons of man cannot be served, but to came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see the word and we hear the word and we think about the disciples and we think about Jesus and we think about how much time they had spent with Jesus, they've been with him every day. They lived with him. They hung out with him at night. They slept with him in the same camp. They were there 100% of the time almost. And you would think that them being with Jesus, it would be like Tammy is with me. She thinks ahead for me, you know. Y'all ever hear that done? No, that don't happen, but it does. Other night, we was riding down the road, and I said, "Babe, I don't need you to be mad at me. I want to talk to you about something." She said, "We're not buying a Harley." I said, "Really? I never even mentioned it, Wayne." That was what I was going to talk about, though. But so you would think that the disciples, they would get to where that they could understand what Jesus was thinking and what he was trying to tell them. You would think that it would soak in enough that they would be able to understand where Jesus is going when he's telling them that we're on our way to Jerusalem, guys, and he was walking ahead of them. They're lollygagging back behind and probably, you know, talking there amongst themselves. And they're realizing that we might need to be saying something about who's going to be first and who's going to be last in this kingdom that he's talking about. But as he continues to walk toward Jerusalem, and he pulls them aside and he tells them that the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priest and the teachers of the religious law. Now, you wouldn't think that he would be betrayed to them, would you? You would think that he would be betrayed to someone else. But the teachers of the religious law, you know, it's crazy. The leading priest, they were all about, folks, what we try to talk about each and every Sunday. They were all about the law. They knew not who Jesus was. They did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They didn't know how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They didn't want to hear about it. They didn't want they didn't want him any closer to them than they already were as they was reading parts of the Old Testament. That was all that they had on their mind. No closeness whatsoever. So today, we look at ourselves. We pick our Bibles up. We read our daily devotions. Sometimes we have two or three we read during the day. I have two or three different ones that come on my phone every morning. And then there's one laying there by my chair. And we read our devotions and we hear what God's saying. But really and truly, how close do you want to be to God that day? How close do you really want to be to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you listening to what he's telling you? Are you listening to him as he's beginning to speak to you? "Mike, I'm fixing to go to Jerusalem. And when I get there, this is what's going to happen to me." And I'm saying, it's not going to happen that way. We don't need to worry about that. They're not going to do that to you. But he's saying, yes, they are. This is what's going to happen. And he said, "They will sentence him to die and hand him over to the Romans. And they will mock him, spit on him, flog him with a whip and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again." Folks, can you imagine how he must have been already? He knew what they were going to do. He knew and understood exactly what was fixing to happen. But can you imagine how he felt knowing that this was coming? Knowing that he was going to be punished and treated this way, can you just imagine how the weight that he must have had on his shoulders? But it was for you, and it was for me. This weight that he was carrying, this weight of our sin was beginning to build upon him. And it was like every mile that he walked, It was like somebody was adding 10 more pounds of weight to his back, and he was continually having to carry it because it was our sins that he was going to die for. It was so terrible, folks. Can you imagine how he was beginning to feel? And so we see then that James and John, they've been walking behind, they've been talking about this, and they said even their mother was with them, it tells us in Matthew, that she was all about this too. Maybe she's the one that gave them the idea that maybe they need to ask Jesus for these two high positions, one on the right and one on the left. You know, moms sometimes are that away. They want their kids to have the best. They want their kids to be what they hadn't had the opportunity to be, and that's what maybe she was the one that gave them this thought to begin with. I don't know. But Mark just talks about James and John, the sons of Zebedee. It doesn't mention the mother. But they want to know if he'll do them a favor. How many times, folks, do we come to Jesus throughout the week? How many times in our prayer time do we come to Jesus and we want to know, Lord, will you just do me a favor? Will you just do me one more favor? Just one more favor, Lord. That's all I need right now. I just need this to take place this week, today, or in this coming month. This is what I need. I've done that. I don't know about y'all, but I think everybody probably has said, Lord, I need you to take care of this situation for me. Folks, he will. He does if it's his will. If we pray that in being his will that this happens, he will take care of it. But folks, so many times we're asking for something selfish. We're asking for something that doesn't matter to him, a hill of beans. We're just being selfish. We need our world to be perfect. We need our world to not be all messed up like it is. Well, what got it that way? 2/3 of the time, it's us. We are the ones that caused it. We're the ones that brought all of this on ourselves by decisions that we've made. Maybe not decisions we made yesterday or the day before, but decisions we made 20, 30 years ago. We made these decisions. They're going to come back and bite you. When these decisions are made and they're not in the will of the Lord, it's going to come back and bite you. And when it does, we always ask him, Lord, help us get this situated, get this settled, take care of this for us, Lord. Well, he's saying, Mike, if you'd have thought about that 30 years ago or 20 years ago, you wouldn't be having to deal with that today. You know, that's just the way life is, folks. We think that it's not anything that we do. We don't have a problem one. It's something somebody has brought to us. And so we see that they're requesting that he let them sit with them on this glorious throne. They said, when you get there, we want to sit in the places of honor next to you, one on your right and one on your left. But Jesus says, you don't even know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? You know the suffering that Jesus is fixing to endure. We've all seen this suffering. We've watched it on television. We've watched it in our minds as we've read the Bible of the suffering that Jesus went through. And even as much as we've read it and looked at it and talked about it, we would never, never, never be able to comprehend what it would have been like. Folks, we don't have the ability to comprehend what it's like. And you talk about the cup. What is that cup? It's mentioned in Psalm 75, and it's mentioned in Jeremiah 25, the cup that he's talking about. And you can just kind of look at it in a couple of verses. In Psalm 75, it says, it is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. For the Lord holds a cup in his hand that is full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours out the wine in judgment, and all the wicked must drink it, draining it to the dregs. But as for me, I will always proclaim what God has done, and I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. For God says, I will break the strength of the wicked, but I will increase the power of the godly. Isn't that good? That is that cup. That's that cup that he's talking about. That wine mixed with all of those spices. You can't drink that cup. You can't endure that cup. Who thinks that you're able to drink the cup and to be baptized in what I'm fixing to be baptized in, he's saying. It's not, you're not capable of that. But they said, oh yeah, we are. We're ready. Try us. We're ready to go. And so we know that James in Acts 12:2, I think, tells us that he died as a martyr. And then in Revelation 1, I believe it is, it tells us that John was exiled to himself. He spent his days to himself the rest of his life. And so there you go, folks. We know that they didn't either one have a pretty ending to their life. Their cup was terrible, but it wasn't what Jesus' cup was. So he knew that they were not going to be able to drink that cup. But the cup that he had set aside for them would be terrible and it would be bad. But they were saying, yes, we're able. We are able. And Jesus told them, and indeed, you will drink from the bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit at my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. And when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were just plumb mad. You know, why would they get to be the ones to set it to right and to the left? Can you just imagine what Peter would be thinking? And he'd be telling you, you know, he wasn't bashful. He would be telling them what he was saying. So we see, folks, that God is saying, you will drink it. You will drink my cup. There's a cup of suffering for you, James, and there's a cup of suffering for you, John. There's a cup of suffering for you, Mike. Are you going to be able to drink it? I say, yes, I'll be able to drink it. But will I? Will I? Will I actually want to? Will I actually stand for that suffering to be brought to me, if it was brought to me? You see, folks, we never know when we're living for Christ. It's not going to be a tea party every morning like grandmother would do for the girls of a morning. She'd have a tea party, and I'd want to get in on that too, you know. But it's not going to be a tea party every morning. It's not going to be all roses. When we follow Christ, when we truly follow Christ, and we truly try our very best to be a disciple of Christ, we have to serve others. And this is what Jesus is telling them. He says, you know, he picks up in 42 and he tells them that, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over other people, and officials flaunt their authority over them, those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be the leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first among you must be the slave for everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Folks, truly today as we come and we think about the cup that Jesus had to bear and had to suffer and had to drink, and we think about how he came. He came for one reason, and that was to serve others. He never asked to be served. He never had anything really that anybody would want to serve him for. He wasn't a king that walked the earth that everybody wanted to be a part of, to be seen with, get their picture taken with, to be hanging out with. He was a very, very loyal servant to God. A servant is something that you really don't want to be. A servant is something that means you give up yourself to serve others. How many of us want to give up ourselves to serve others? How many of us has got plans for this afternoon? I bet we're going to watch a ball game. How many of us want to miss it? Not many of us want to miss it. But you see, there's things that we want to do ourselves constantly. We have plans. We make plans every day, every morning, to serve ourselves. We don't think about serving anyone else. We think about serving our own little self. And when those plans get blown out of proportion today, well, that's okay. I'll pick up tomorrow where I left off today. And then those plans get messed up tomorrow and maybe again Wednesday. And then we're just tore down. We've got so much to do then that we just can't get it all done in the end of the week. So we're just really behind and we're just really tore down. I've done for everybody else all week long. I hadn't even had time to get my yard mowed. I hadn't had time to do anything. You know, that's the way we are. Because we don't want to give up ourselves, our time, our money, our talents. We don't want to. And therefore we don't. Because we're not listening to what Christ is saying. We hear parts of it, but we don't hear all of it. Because we tune him out. Just like a radio, we turn it down, tune him out. And that is where that we see he's talking to us today. If you want to be high in the kingdom, he's telling James and John, then you must be a server of others. If you want to be high in the kingdom in the eyes of God, you must be serving someone else. You must be doing something for someone else and forgetting about your own self. How much do you think Jesus thought about his own self during the time of traveling back to Jerusalem? You think he had anything that he would have liked to accomplished? You think he'd have had anything that he'd like to done? Think he'd have liked to went fishing on Wednesday morning maybe or Thursday morning? I mean, you know, you think he would have liked to just sat under a tree and had a conversation with someone? You see, folks, he didn't do things per se like that. Every day he got up and he was focused on what had to be done that day. He was focused on someone else, and he knew that these people would be in his life and what he could do for others. Next week, we're going to pick up right under there where he heals the blind beggar. And that's going to be really good too, because he's still serving as he goes to the cross. He's still serving. And what is it for? That our eyes can be open where we can see him. So folks, when we stop and we think about serving others, the Son of Man came to not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So not only did he come to serve, to heal the blind, to heal the deaf, not only did he come to serve and to heal, but he came, folks, for you and for me. He came to die upon that cross that we could have eternal life. He came that we would have a life after this life. He came that we would have life everlasting. That is so, so awesome. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. You know, this week, me and another guy was having a little conversation, and he was talking about, well, the preachers, they don't talk about if we don't do this or we don't do that, then this whole United States is fixing to be gone. It's going to be gone anyway, folks. It's not going to be here forever. But, you know, politically, we could sit here and talk about it all afternoon and not accomplish one thing. I could not change your mind. You probably wouldn't change my mind. And I asked him, I said, what's more important, that we come to church and talk politics, or we come to church and talk the Bible? We come to church and talk about what Jesus Christ has done for you, that we can learn ourselves, that we can teach the younger kids, that they can go out and have eternal life. Isn't that awesome that we have that opportunity? Yes, it's very important that we try to keep a country and a nation. Yes, very important. But it's more important, folks, that we know that if they die tomorrow, that they have a place and that we have a place prepared for us. Jesus went to build us a house. He tells us that, John 14, that he's gone to prepare a place for us. And when it's ready and it's done, he'll come and receive us. So if he's gone to prepare for us a place, why would we not prepare ourselves to be ready for that place? But instead, we're telling everyone, well, I'm up on top of the ground. I'm doing better than I could be. No, you're not doing better than you could be. You're just here on top of the ground. I pray and I hope that the day that we go to Olive Branch with me, that's my best day I've ever had. I pray that that's the best day that I will ever know. And so we have to know Jesus Christ and know our Lord and Savior before we have that opportunity. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, tell others about me. Show others about me. Show others and tell them what I have done for you. Just if I just talk to you about what he's done for me, I could never get through talking about it. And if I leave today, all of y'all stand up and testify, Mike was the most blessed fella that ever lived because God done so much in his life. And he prepared a place for him, and he's gone to be in that place. It's a wonderful day. A wonderful day. So, folks, I just say this morning, as we know that Jesus has taught us and showed us, he didn't only teach us, he showed us, that we have to serve others if you want to be a servant to others, then you might have an opportunity in the kingdom of God. He knows that it's not many people that's going to give up their life, give up what they have planned for today or tomorrow. It's not many people that's going to do that to serve him. And so he knows by saying this that whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave to everyone else. Nobody wants to do that, do they? Nobody's going to sign up. I put a sign-up sheet out here on the table. Whoever wants to be a slave for others, sign up, because this is what Jesus is saying that we need to do. There won't be anybody sign up. There's no slaves. Nobody wants to be a slave. I'm just telling you what Jesus says, folks. And I pray that you hear these words at this time of year that where Jesus is, everything he's doing for the next few weeks is 110% for you. It's for you. It's for me too, but it's for you. Every one of you. He's doing everything for us. He loves us so much, and I can never tell you how much, but you ought to know that a man that would come and live and die on the cross for our sin, how much more would he have to do to prove to us the love he has for us? Y'all think about that this week. As you go back out into the world, tell others about Jesus Christ. Tell others about how he loved you and died for you. And God loved him, and that on the third day he rose from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven, and he tells us that he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Woo, that's going to be something to see when we finally make that trip and finally get to heaven and have time to be with him. It's going to be the most awesome thing that you've ever experienced, folks. And I hope each and every one of us here today are ready for that trip. I hope that you understand, not because you need to or want to or have to, but because you love God and you love Jesus to the point that you want to serve someone else. Serve in his name. Serve someone because they love Jesus loves you and you want to show that love to someone else this week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.